Okay, everybody. Joel Radio's back. How you doing?
I'm Joel.
I'm Corey.
That's Corey. The crew is back.
That's it.
That's it. That's all you get today. People who don't like that can turn it off right now.
Well, I'm turning it off.
25 seconds. That's it. That's all you need to know. It's going to be a good one today. Lots of funny things in the news and interesting things, and I'm going to explain the Ticketmaster settlement today on the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that should be real riveting. It's going to be hilarious. I've got pages and pages of Ticketmaster jokes lined up in the hopper.
All right.
So don't worry about that, and we'll talk about... I did an interview that didn't go well, but I'll explain why. I'll talk about that and whether or not you'll be able to hear that. And then we'll have an update on everybody's hero. I think the official mascot of the show... Candace Payne, Chewbacca mask mom lady.
Oh yeah,
she continues to be.
Can't
in the news.
Get enough of that.
Well, we're really the lead investigators on her at this point, though, aren't we? What did you say? We're the lead. We lead the nation in Chewbacca mom coverage at this point, aren't we?
We were ahead of it.
Well,
we were on top of it. We were accurate in our prognostication.
I just hope we're not underneath it.
We are the Woodward and Bernstein.
Of Chewbacca mom,
oh God,
that's great. No, I think that's good.
Oh, was she? Do you think before she had the kids there was something?
I don't know.
How many kids did she have?
I mean, I think I said on the show I wouldn't. You know, I mean, I wouldn't.
Look, we know what you.
Yeah,
would.
I know.
We know you wouldn't. Do.
No, but I mean, I'm not looking to do that. But yeah, you know, yeah,
I'm not looking for.
Well, that was Leave the Mask On. That was the title
I'm
of
not
the show.
I'm not about that life.
No, it's not. It's no. not. You know, I'm not. You know,
I hear you.
I'm not chasing that around, but well, be easy to catch. But,
sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway,
tranquilize it.
Well, where do we start today,
oh,
man?
My God.
Do you want to start
considering
with...
her vision would be limited
well,
by the mask?
Yeah.
She'd probably bounce into a wall first. Before...
What if I dressed up as Han Solo and fucked her with the Chewbacca mask? Would that be wrong?
Yes.
Well, here's our option.
You should dress up as Bosk, one of the bounty hunters.
And oh, yeah, I should dress
up. I think there's more of a slash Chewbacca slash Bosk
oh.
fan community.
Mm.
Right now, someone's busily typing out their slash porn of Chewbacca.
How about you put her in handcuffs and you get a black guy to dress like Lando Calrissian and fuck her? That'd be odd. That'd be wild. All right. It's been a good 11 years on the show, guys. I just want to say... That might be the lowest thing I've ever said
that
in 11 years
is.
Of podcasting.
Let me get a call into Vivid Entertainment. take you up
you
on
know
that.
What? I bet you those perverts have... I bet you there's... I can guarantee you yeah. there's a Chewbacca mask
porn being made
coming.
Right
I'm
now.
I'm sure somewhere. Somewhere someone's working on
and
it.
And I'm sure that the Disney legal yeah. department is on high alert.
Well, you can't tell people the mask can't be in something, right? I mean, the mask
well,
is...
one of the films of the late, great Joni China Lauer...
Oh, God.
Was an Avengers parody where she was the She-Hulk.
Was she painted green and guys were fucking her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that poor woman.
Uh-huh.
Really, when they people say, you know, they're in a better place when someone dies, she's got to be in a better place.
Yeah.
She was getting fucked in Avengers porn. Anywhere is better than that.
Oh, my God.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, so here we could talk about... Now, the last time we had on America's Got Talent, a six-year-old comedian,
mm-hmm.
and we did it very late in the show, and I hope people stuck around to hear that stupid kid. Because this time, it's a 13-year-old comedian at America's Got Talent.
Oh, Jesus.
We like to play all these wacky stand-up sets we see on TV. And you ready for this one? Or
I'm psyching myself up.
Are you?
Look, I watched James Corden host the Tonys, and I barely have recovered from that. That almost... My soul left my body on three occasions, at least.
Well, what are you going to do? It's the Tonys is super gay without James
all right.
Corden.
All right. The Tonys is already we're at like DEFCON 3. We're at you know
right. I mean
we're at the highest possible level of gayness.
Right. Well, you don't like James Corden singing and dancing, and yet you watched a show where it's all fucking singing and dancing.
Yeah, well, I like the people with talent singing and dancing.
Oh.
I just don't. James Corden.
But
is,
James Corden's like been on in
yeah,
shows
he's
and stuff.
Just, but he's like a modest. Anyway, whatever.
You do not. Are you
he
Corey?
He did the fucking carpool karaoke.
Listen,
do you know that?
I bought you the Blu-ray of Into the Woods for Christmas. How can you say you're not a fan?
Oh Jesus Christ!
Of James Corden. After
you know he did.
It was a terrible movie, by the way.
Oh yeah. I'm sure
don't see that. And James Corden was unknown when that movie came out here. And
you know, I've gone through the whole stages of grief.
Yes.
With Hamilton.
Yeah.
At first, I denied it. You know, at first, okay. I was just like, no, it couldn't really be true. And then,
well,
and then I got real sad about it, and then finally acceptance, and I'm back to denial because, like, the thing about the Hamilton phenomenon is that I wanted to poo-poo it because all the dummies were into it.
Yeah.
Whenever all the dummy, as the title of the book, Confederacy of Dunces, says, when a true genius appears, all the dunces will be in confederacy against him.
Yeah.
Well, this is the opposite.
Okay.
This is the coalition of the stupid. We know whenever the dummies like something, I'm not going to like it.
Well, the dummies like, but the smart people liked it first.
That's true. And then I watched some of the Hamilton clips. I saw them a couple times.
Yeah.
I said, oh, this actually is pretty entertaining.
I'm sure it's fine.
And engrossing.
But
then when he got into that car, when Lin-Manuel Miranda, the star of the moment for Hamilton, mm-hmm. who's...
Well, he wrote it and, all that stuff. Created it.
He's the head honcho.
Yeah.
When he got in that car with that no-talent sack of shit, Corden, mm-hmm. to do carpool karaoke, I then went immediately back into hating Hamilton again.
Aww.
I couldn't...
Well, did you know the story about him and Obama? Obama lived?
Yeah, he... Yeah.
Well, so Obama wanted to see Hamilton, and Lin-Manuel Miranda... so he came... Obama came to the theater to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lin-Manuel Miranda plays Hamilton, I guess, right? Or he's the lead in it. I don't know if it's Hamilton or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda had the option. I'm going to give you the choice if you don't know the story. Now, you're the lead in Hamilton, and Obama's coming to see it. Now, you have two options. You can sit with Obama and watch the play performed by your understudy, or you can perform the play for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Lin-Manuel Miranda did?
He sat with the president.
He sat with the president, yes. Which I don't know if I would have done. I don't know how I feel
about
that. I would
have done the show.
I think I would have done the show and just talked to the president later or before or something.
Yeah, I would have. You're not going to get a shot to talk to the president. First of all,
let's say the understudy blows it or something. Then you look like a dipshit for not doing it.
Now, when George Bush went to Spam-a-Lot. Did the cat? No, I don't know.
I don't know what shows he went on.
Well, yeah, he should have done the show. Well, you know, the other story is that Miranda had a previous hit called The Heights.
Yeah,
he had a musical that was a hit.
Okay,
not to this level, but like was a hit. And he played some reception at the White House. There was some dinner or performing arts
mm-hmm.
thing, and he. Did a preview, like this was like 2009 or something.
Okay.
And broke down. He's like, look, my next idea is a hip hop musical about Hamilton. And everybody laughed in the theater. And then he kind of did a little like freestyle from it.
Yeah.
And then so they show that clip.
Okay.
So Obama's been a fan for a long
time. Obama's been down with that. That's
now, not being a fan is these comedians on America's Got Talent.
That's what I was going to. I mean, if you.
Not to get down the wormhole of Corden and Hamilton. All right, back to it.
I'm trying to think of my Bush joke, but I can't think of the guy's name. Well, I was going to say when Bush saw the blue collar comedy tour. Who's the ventriloquist?
Well,
who's the Bush?
I think Ray Stevens went on stage did Ahab the Arab and Guitarzan when George Bush went to see it.
But I was thinking, who's the
Yakov guy? Smirnoff didn't hang out with Bush. He did his show.
Who's the guy with the puppets? Why can't I think of his name?
Jeff Dunham.
When Bush went to Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham actually did the show.
He actually let Bush work Peanut.
Right.
That's what he let.
Well, Bush can't believe that that little guy is so funny.
Bush brought his dummy, Jeb.
Yeah. All right, let's... so you want to hear the 13-year-old comedian. That's what you're ready for?
Okay, I'm prepared.
Okay. Now, let's get a little... I mean, I don't know how much backstory you want on her, because they did a whole thing that I didn't record. She's 13 years old. Her name is Lori Mae Hernandez. So it's a girl comic. So right away.
Yeah.
If she's not funny, it may not be her age. But anyway. Hey-o!
I just like to say that the...
I'm shedding listeners with every comment.
I like to say the thoughts expressed by Joel Fragmini
exactly.
Do not represent...
Oh, my God. All All right, so let's listen to Lori Mae Herndon. Corey, you've not heard this.
I haven't heard this.
You saw. I was pulling it, and you saw her briefly. You know what she looks like and whatever. But yeah, here's Lori Mae Hernandez. Of course, if I don't pop this up on the board, you're not going to hear Lori Mae Hernandez. Here we go. One more shot. Here we go.
Okay, thank you.
We're ready.
All right.
Simon says we're ready. Here we go. Let's hear if Corey will actually laugh. Make me laugh.
America's Got Talent. This is amazing. I wouldn't have missed this for the world. I even turned down a really big job to be here. Yeah, have you ever seen Disney Channel? Well, I was going to babysit two little girls that really like Disney Channel.
By the way, I think our mics were up when we were doing this.
Oh, wow.
So we're actually talking about it.
Tremendous professional.
Yeah, we really did a great job on this poll. Anyway, let's see if we can get through it.
Let's talk about that for a minute. I am not a high school graduate. I haven't even been to high school. I don't have a driver's license. I can't even sit in the front seat. I'm still on safety scissors, people.
God, I did such a bad job.
You are going to leave your beloved child, the one who was carrying on your name, to the next generation.
I think I've ruined this clip. Do you want me to play it off Hulu?
Yeah, go ahead,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That was great.
I apologize.
No, because I hadn't seen it.
So and Joel, I said, Corey.
So Joel said, let me capture this. And he turned the sound down. He turned the sound down to his speakers.
I did.
And then didn't turn the mics down.
Well, I was like, I'm not going to monitor this, Corey. I hope it's okay. And you're like, you'll be fine. And I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. I've done this a million times. And then, of course, I left the goddamn mics on. All right, well, here, I'm going to give you...
Smuckers presents Great Moments in Podcast Engineering. In 2016, right. Veteran podcaster Joel Fragamenti failed to turn down the mic ports.
All right, hold on a second. I'm going to get the clip now. But now I'm going to have to play this through the...
Oh, God.
Mic.
The visual helps, let me tell you.
I want to try to just get the hurt and...
I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy.
All right, here we go. Let's shut the fuck up and let people enjoy.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
About 3 years now.
How did you start?
My dad, he got...
I don't want people to hear this. I just want people to hear this.
Thank you.
We're ready.
All right.
All right, here we go.
America's Got Talent. This is amazing. I wouldn't have missed this for the world. I even turned down a really big job to be here. Yeah, have you ever seen Disney Channel? Well, I was going to babysit two little girls that really like Disney Channel.
All right, so one joke in, any...
All right, so you skipped past the heartwarming story, which is failed comedian, her father.
Her father was sick, and she wanted to entertain him. That's the backstory.
Come on. Look at this guy.
I know.
He looks like he did open mic in, like, 1996. And then it was always his dream.
Okay.
And then he had a kid.
But I wanted to not color that with her performance.
Okay, sorry.
Let's talk about that for a minute. I am not a high school graduate. I haven't even been to high school. I don't have a driver's license. I can't even sit in the front seat. I'm still on safety scissors, people. But you are going to leave your beloved child, the one who was carrying on your name to the next generation, with me. My only qualification to be a babysitter is that I used to be a baby. I mean, that's crazy. That's like saying, hey, you're sick a lot. You want to be my doctor? Or weren't you the host of a reality show? You want to be president of the United States?
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Well, I think you love her now.
Was Howie Mandel on the Celebrity Apprentice?
I don't know if he was.
Trying to remember. He seems like a very likely candidate to have been
well... I mean, she did it. She ends with a Trump joke. Well, here's my initial analysis.
Yeah.
She's better than the 6-year-old. So there's my original thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, she told the jokes okay. The jokes weren't, you know, she's the best, she's the finest 13-year-old female comedian in the country. I'll give her that. And by that, I mean she's really not very good. But, you know, she's a 13-year-old girl. What do you want?
I'd like if they didn't put
this on television. Yes. I guess that's my big problem.
She's better than the six-year-old.
She's better than the six-year-old.
Because she at least knows what she's saying.
Yes.
And the material is slightly better than the six-year-old's material, which was the hackiest shit in the world.
Right, and she's that 9-year-old girl who we played from the internet who had those Kurt Cobain jokes or whatever. Mm. I think she's better. I think this 13-year-old girl is probably better than her.
But I just would like to say, can we stop this?
No, exactly.
Because
absolutely.
Just as a culture.
Yes.
Because what is this? I don't blame the kids.
Yes.
I don't blame the kids because you know what?
No.
You know, look, did you see the eighth grader that was doing Bernie and Clinton impressions and stuff at his graduation?
I can't believe I missed that, but no, I wouldn't.
Oh, that
I
was a hot. No, that clip made the rounds on the news for a day, right? And actually, you know what? That kid was actually pretty good at the.
Yeah.
He did impressions of Clinton and Trump and Bernie and whatever at his like eighth grade graduation.
Okay.
And actually, that kid was pretty good at the impressions.
Well,
and you know what? I got up and did talent shows and did everything I could when I was in eighth grade. That's why I ended up doing comedy.
Yeah.
They let me do the announcements like four times, and then they realized their mistake. But
what did you do in the announcements?
I would just do bits and shtick, and you know.
Wow.
And then somebody wised up and was like, why do we let him get a microphone? But, you know, we just do dumb stuff and be like, do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. Yeah. I mean, we were, you know, doing.
Well, yeah.
I tried to do like the MASH announcer voiceover kind of thing.
Okay.
And slip in like real quiet, you know.
Were you trying to be the Meatballs PA guy? That's what I would try to do.
No, but that's because I was as a kid. In like
that was Bill Murray did that,
yeah,
right?
In ninth grade, I was wise to like all those kind of bits where Chris from Northern Exposure.
All the pranks.
Just the radio DJ voice in movies and TV. So I was doing that kind of stuff or Robin Williams, whatever it was. I'd throw in a joke with the
lunch special.
The Powerpuff football game will be scheduled for. You know, anyway, we've got...
it's Bagel Day tomorrow, remember.
It's Sloppy Joe Day on
Bagels
Thursday.
Bagels are 50 cents. Remember, in second period, the bagel cart will come around.
Sign up now for Color Guard. She was better. She delivered. But what? Two problems.
Yeah.
One, it amazes me when guys can't do what a 13-year-old girl just did.
Yes.
Which is the tone.
Right.
That's why she's getting laughs. Nobody gives a shit about your babysitting material.
No, it's not.
She broke down to the fundamental fucking elements, and her dad or whoever coached her broke down the, what? Oh, hey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing she has is she has that.
What's the deal with that?
She has a timing and a rhythm to her that sounds professional.
Right, but that's all she's doing.
Yeah.
She's working and it
shows the actual material isn't funny.
It shows you kind of how amazingly simple and difficult comedy is.
Yeah.
Because anybody, I think, if they paid attention, could figure out that you're letting me take care of children.
Yeah, right.
I'm a child.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And
the Trump joke's not really very good. I mean, you know, it's not a great Trump joke. It's
for being a 13-year-old, they go, she's got a little moxie.
Yeah, it's...
Which it cracks me up that this country is so fucking pussy-whipped
that
you can't make a joke about Trump. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Everybody's making jokes about Trump. Yeah. Anyway, so marginally better than the six-year-old, but can we stop doing this, please?
It's you know, that same material delivered by a 24-year-old white guy
would die.
Well, yeah, is not going to get you anywhere. But you know, I guess
his babysitting material.
Yeah, I guess he probably can't do Disney Channel jokes anyway. But anyway.
You know,
it was you know what, it was okay. But let's not
Jack Bouchard, Bill's nephew.
Yes.
Goes up and does comedy sometimes.
I've seen him several times.
Yeah, and it's just that his material is all like, boy, you know, homework sucks.
Well, and, he's actually I saw him like 2 weeks ago.
And he does a good job.
And
with
I think
it,
he's like 17 now when he does jokes about jerking
right.
off now.
When he was so, when he was doing it 3 years
yeah, right,
when
know,
he was doing
yeah.
it 3 years ago,
it was
like
kinda like that, yeah.
I remember the one line he had was like, "Well, I gotta go, the streetlights are coming on."
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's cute.
It's cute.
But it's not what this does is cheapens everything we do. And you know, everything we do is already dirt cheap. Doing comedy is the hardest work that gets zero respect of anything. And so I hate shit like this because people laugh at this garbage.
Well, it's age appropriate for her, which I guess is different than the 9-year-old.
That's true.
And it's different than the 6-year-old in that way. It was age appropriate. It was okay. I mean, it was you know.
Maybe this is.
But you can't do a show where you're saying we're giving somebody $1 million to do a Vegas show and think that anyone's buying two tickets, let alone $1 million worth, to see this 13-year-old tell jokes. It's not going to happen.
No.
So they have to get rid of her from the show. That's the problem with America's Got Talent is, okay, you have some talent to tell jokes as a 13-year-old girl, but, like, you know, we're looking for a Vegas headliner. It's
right.
not going to be you. Therefore, you have to leave.
Well,
and sometimes Howard would do that. He would go, look, this isn't $1 million act. It's cute, but
that's the problem with this show is the show runs all summer long.
Oh, it runs until September
or
something.
What is it, 16 weeks or something?
I don't know. This was week three. Week four is airing tonight as we're recording this.
Mm-hmm. So it's like 12 weeks.
No, I think it's more than that.
All right. Well,
I think it's like 6 weeks of the opening round, and then, yeah, it goes on.
So you got to fill that stage with act after act.
You do, yes.
And you're right. Conceivably, there's, what, maybe 10 of them that have an actual shot to win it from the jump street. Are acts that are, like, they're usually some kind of, like, magic and or dance kind of act.
Dance act, singers, you know, there's a guy who did a Sinatra impression. He was a Goomba Dago,
right.
And he just sounded like Sinatra, and he was pretty good.
But they're usually, like, it's a dance troupe, but they use neon lights.
Yeah, there's that.
There's,
yeah.
like, some kind of,
oh,
like,
no, no, the one, this is the, it's a Japanese dance team,
mm-hmm.
and they use drones. And the drones have lights in them, and they're flying over
right,
the dancers.
Right, right, right.
And as the dancers move, the drones move as like
or,
a mass.
Or they're
it was
got,
pretty cool, actually.
Or they've got some rear projection.
Yeah,
thing
the rear projection
that makes art while they dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of shit that actually would work.
Yeah,
in Vegas,
you might pay
acts.
To see that. Yeah,
Cirque du Soleil kind of shit.
Well, that was the guy Kichi or whatever his name was a few years ago that did all that dancing.
The breakdancer guy will get popped the first time, but nobody's going to watch a guy breakdance.
Well, yeah, I think that, I mean, maybe you lower the threshold in the first round and say, well, if this is good enough to go through, you know, the threshold is very low, and then you have to get past a certain point.
The problem with that, the whole issue with this this show aside, it's this tendency. When I was 13, I didn't want to see 13-year-olds doing comedy.
No.
Yeah. I wanted to see, when I was 13, I wanted to see, you know, I'm trying to think. Who
Alan King.
You know, Alan King. Thank you.
George Burns.
Gary Shandling.
Yeah, exactly. 13.
I want to see, like, Gary Shandling doing comedy.
Yeah.
I want to. Actually, Leno was funny.
Yeah, David Letterman. Yeah.
Leno was funny when I was 13. But, like, you know, to show you how old I am.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see the guys that were older and adult and funny.
Yeah.
When I was 13, I never had this, like. When I was a kid, I never
had this,
like.
You didn't want to see your peers do comedy.
No, fuck them. I knew they were hacks. And so I don't want to see a fucking hack 13-year-old now.
No.
As an adult, it doesn't appeal to me.
I think we've covered that. When it was a better, but it's still. You can't put her on stage with even a solid middle act. She's going to get blown away. It's just not good. You can't,
yeah, but,
you can't
but
reward
you
that.
Put her on TV and everybody goes, isn't that darling? Let's
it's
clap. Dark. Because you're set up in it's a room full of people that.
Yeah.
Will not boo a 13-year-old girl because they're decent human beings.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that. You're actually being awful because you're giving this 13-year-old girl this false sense of reality of what her life is. And
yeah, that's true.
Is.
Yeah.
And even if she's fucking sensational at 13, the comedy industry isn't structured to accept her at 13.
And she did a minute and a half on the show. You know, you can't go do a minute and a half of comedy and make a living at it.
No.
So,
So it's not structured for her at 13. It's not even structured for her until she's like 22. Then come back and do your special.
Well, maybe they can give her acting lessons and she could do a sitcom and be the, you know, the the precocious kid on a show. All right, let's move on to.
Well, what about the Chewbacca mom? Did you see?
Yeah, she got an action figure. I have the story.
Okay, well, because our dedicated listener.
I know people are now reporting it to us.
Yes, I just want to give a shout out to Michael Carrion for sending me the link to that.
Yeah, they're reporting to us now what she's up to, so we have the full coverage.
Thank you, Michael.
This is from the New York Post here. Chewbacca mom has gotten her own talking and laughing action figure. Candace Payne, the Texas mom of two, whose Facebook Live video of herself showing off a new Chewbacca mask went viral last month, was presented with the one-of-a-kind plastic lookalike by Hasbro. Thanks so much, Hasbro. You literally rolled out the red carpet for me and my family. Thanks for making play so much fun, the 47-year-old internet star wrote on Instagram Friday.
Well, she's 47. How old are her kids?
Oh. Hasbro Chief Executive Officer Brian Goldner presented her with the unique Payne/Chewbacca figurine that is topped with her face and has a removable Wookiee mask. The action figure is equipped to spit out 13 different phrases, including Payne's fame.
Jesus Christ.
I am such a happy Chewbacca, followed by her smile-inducing cackle. Well, they didn't. For those of you who didn't see this, it's not like they made a big fat mom action figure and put a Chewbacca mask on it. They took a Chewbacca action figure that already exists and put her head on it and then programmed the little chip that probably makes Chewbacca noises normally to make Candace Payne noises. But, yeah, it's...
Well, the way they do this stuff now is they've got, like, 3D scanners.
Yeah, they can,
and they can
3D Photoshop print
her head.
Head
and
yeah,
they can 3D print her head and make it to scale as an action
So
figure.
It's not like they went through all that much work to make this happen, and it's good publicity for them.
It was a...
And you know what? And if there's that much interest, Hasbro will probably make some of these fucking things.
Well, you know what they'll probably do is they'll sell them at the Comic-Con.
Sell them, yeah.
There's an exclusive.
A one-off or something, and she'll sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I were her, I would go, okay, make me a bunch of these. Well, I'll give you know what I mean? I'll give you...
If they had done her whole body, they would have had to do new tooling to make the dumpy middle-aged housewife.
Maybe they have a Peter Griffin action figure. They have a Homer Simpson or something,
right,
and they can just put her head on it.
Right, the head they could just whip out in an afternoon. The body,
like maybe
you gotta scale it and make the arms move.
Maybe they've got some Batman Penguin figurines sitting around or something. I don't know, some big fat...
You know, you went
who's
there.
Who's the
fucking penguin?
Yeah,
you went there.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Say no more.
Well, you weren't laughing at Peter Griffin.
Say no more.
I would have left it at that if you would have sold the first fucking
line. No, the penguin's
line,
perfect.
Stupid ass.
Put her in a tuxedo.
I love it. That's how angry she makes us. We fight with each other.
I'm not fighting. I just...
Well, she sucks. It's enough. It's enough. 15 minutes of fame.
Well, look, I don't want to give spoilers.
Oh.
But if you're a regular listener of this program, put your money on her in the asshole of the year.
Oh, well,
I don't know where she's going to be, but it's that's,
okay,
she's
but,
on the list.
Okay. If she's the asshole of the year or if she's on the list, it's not from making that video. It's from the after, what are you doing with your celebrity, and yeah. Because she's milking it. There's nothing going on here. She's doing nothing. She did an entertaining video, and will do nothing entertaining for the rest of her life. That's a guarantee.
No, but she's going to go on the road and open, you're going to be opening for her. We're going to
I made that joke about Brad Wenzel. We had this going away party for Brad Wenzel, who's a local comedian, and he was on the show once at one of the live shows, but... And I made the joke that Brad Wenzel will be fucking the Chewbacca mom at LA open mics in his future. That was
that
line went over pretty good.
It was a really fun night where a million comics went up.
Yeah.
And we only got like 2 minutes and he would just kind of run through everybody. Yeah. But Joel and I both hit on don't take your girlfriend to Hollywood.
Yeah, we both kind of
seemed to be kind of independently.
And Brad's girlfriend Emily's very nice and she's there with him. Yeah. And you know, afterwards, I apologized to Emily, and she goes, oh, I'm not offended that you said. Because I gave my bit was to, I gave Brad a list of girls that he should fuck as soon as he gets to L.A., which is a good bit, but some people, I think, didn't want to go with it.
Yeah, kind of independently of each other, we both had, don't take your girlfriend to Hollywood material.
Speaking of show business, I was, speaking of not being famous, I was on public access television, although I wasn't, which is,
the
lowest rung of show business.
You know, the Chewbacca mom and the girl who was on America's Got Talent have outdone your show business.
They're completely outdone my show business.
The fucking Chewbacca mom's made
so
a half
I go
million
to,
dollars.
I go, and hopefully you'll get to see this at some point. I went to do a 30-minute sit-down interview You know, I mean, this is
like Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose style black backdrop interview round table.
Between two ferns.
exactly what this is. So I go to do this public access show, and they we're 7-8 minutes into the interview. No. And I thought I was being pretty funny. I had some good stories. I dressed up for it. It was good. The fucking power went out. And so we had to stop tape. And hard to believe that
your
the
interview
public access
was so bad they faked the power out.
So the public I'm going to retape the show in July. So I was hoping that you guys at this point would be able to see that. Because it'll probably be on the internet. I think it's the guy was telling me it's on in 12 cities in Oakland County on the public access. So you would probably
CMN is like a
yeah, that's who it was. So that'll
instead
be
of just it used to be public access was really literally like
your community, yeah.
And now there's a network that picks up a bunch.
They banded together and made that. So anyway,
let me tell you the wonderful stuff they're putting on there.
Well, an interview with me.
There's literally a show. My wife makes fun of me because I do watch public access.
Yeah.
But I love anything that's weird. Yeah. Like TV used to be weird. TV used to have this like in the old days when it was over the air, you would a lot of times get this. Any show where I looked and went, who the fuck made this? Where did this come from? And now, that's what's going on now.
Yeah, it's
and that's the public access is the last thing to. Oh,
yeah. I just have a note for you. Go ahead, keep talking. But yeah, I mean the public. It's just weird, and I don't even know what shows go on there. But it was a pretty good sized operation. You know, it was 7-8 people.
I'm sorry. I just
no. You don't have to. Come on.
All right.
No, it's fine. Corey's stopping the show. You could have done that seamlessly like a professional. Instead, you had to fucking do that.
Well, it took me a second to
explain
to
everyone what just happened.
Joel wanted some crackers. All right, anyway.
Well, the crackers are behind Corey.
Crackers are on my side
He's
of the
sitting there.
The
I haven't had lunch today.
Go ahead. All right. Yeah, I know.
So anyway.
Look, the way this is running, the seamless technical precision of this program today.
You know what? Public access. It was amazing.
I
asked where
you've
the Doritos
demonstrated
were.
Yeah, your technical
professionalism
proficiency
today. between pulling the clip.
I had a public access show in 1995, maybe, where this guy that worked with my dad's friend was like, "I'm doing a public access show, and do you know anybody who's funny?" And I hadn't done comedy at the time. I was acting. I was doing community theater and stuff. And I wanted to kind of do it. And I was going on auditions and stuff until I realized I was too fat to act. And then, so I ended up doing about 4 episodes of this. And we'd have bands and skits. And the guy moved to Arizona and took the tapes. And I never saw I think I saw it once.
I'm sure he's holding them for when you're real famous.
Well, I saw it in the editing bay when we were doing it, but there's somewhere in there's 18 or 19 year old me introducing bands and stuff on a thing, and we
I'd
sketches.
Like to see that.
I'd like to fucking know what it was, but yeah, public access. And then I took the course later on with our friend Russ.
Okay,
Russ was like, "Let's do a public access show," and we went out to Waterford and did the camera movements course. And
There was for a while there was stand up on Russ was producing. He was taping the Joey's open mic, Joey's and Livonia open mic. And it was on the on demand on Comcast cable here in Ferndale and all kinds of places.
In fact, Bill Bouchard and I,
you guys had sets on there.
We shot a pilot for another.
But there were guys doing their first sets ever on stage, and it was on television. Mm-hmm. It was very odd. But I always felt not to do those because I didn't want to. You know, you're doing that open mic show, which was kind of an empty room, and you're sort of putting this set of you in an empty room out to the public. And I go, maybe that's not a good thing. So I always avoided that.
No, that's you are correct. That's not a good thing. That you should be doing. Oh, but we'll see. When Joel's big interview does debut.
I think it'll be good. I tried to make it good. And now that I've done it already, sort of half of it, and that, you know, I don't think that tape's going to be sellable. Because I asked him, I said, do we have to come back in the same outfit? And Do we have to preserve continuity, or can we just do a whole new interview? And I think we're doing a whole new interview. So, yeah, I'll get another shot at it. So that'll
be all right. I await eagerly your debut.
Well, if they want somebody to do it in the future, Corey Hall.
Well, we'll see how yours goes, and then maybe I'll commit. We both have. First of all, we're way.
Let me ask. I will actually do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw it out there right now, and I don't know that I can do this, so I need to ask and get clearance, but I think we could make this happen. Yeah. There is a set of bleachers in the studio.
Okay.
I would like to do this show in front of a live studio audience.
Oh.
So this is what I'm going to throw out there. If we have Joel Radio listeners that would like to come to the taping of this said show, I believe we could accommodate about a dozen people.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if they're going to let me do this. I'd have to ask. But, hell, I've got a month to promote it. We're going to tape again in July, like middle of July. So maybe if anyone wants to come, I mean, on a Monday night, I think we're going to do it.
I think we need to get our
Should we open that up? I mean, is
we
that...
should get our crack pack.
Well, I could do all that. That's something
we
I thought.
We should get all of our wackos. Mm-hmm. What happened to Erica Lynn?
That I don't know.
Let's put out an APB. We'll put out an ad in Ferndale.
Erica Lynn had a public access show at one point.
I know. I want that, though. Can we put on all the... Let's get all the weirdos from Bart's. Phil the Cheesecake Guy. This will be our studio audience.
You think so?
Yeah.
I would think we could people who actually want to come watch that.
No, what's the fun in that?
I don't know.
I want the retards.
Because the people would laugh. I'd have people to like laugh at my jokes, and it would be better.
But, look.
A better
Look,
show.
You haven't had that any time. So far.
Well, there was one. There was one guy who was just hanging around, and he was laughing. So I felt I was doing good with him.
Yeah, that's that's when you go and do these TV things.
Yeah,
you're like
it's somebody to work off of. Yeah, you need somebody to work off.
You're
of.
Basically I'm playing to the stagehand.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was doing breakfast
absolutely,
TV, I was playing off the stagehand.
You need that.
Yeah. In fact, when I went and did one local TV spot recently, they had like six people there that were like taking a tour of the studio.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm like, hey, an audience.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're in the Detroit area, I think we're shooting this in, I don't know if I should say exactly where it is, but it's in Oakland County. It's like Troy area, northern, middle of Oakland County.
We'll post it and we'll see.
If they give me permission, if you want to come, just let us know that you want to come. Right. I want to, before I tell people how to come to this, I want to know that people want to come, or I'm not going to ask if people can come. You know what I'm saying? But I guess you have to come.
Okay.
You'll come?
All right.
All right.
Yeah. When the Chewbacca lady's working me, I'll come.
Can John Tenney come?
Well,
that's pie in the sky.
The optimal word there is can. Will is what you want to ask.
Yeah, I'm going. All right.
Even though, by the way, this is literally, 2 miles from John's house.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he could walk there comfortably summer, but it's a bike ride for John.
It's not far.
At the most, it's
not far from John's.
Anyway.
Not to give away, so now we can't give away the location of that or John's house.
Everybody just go to John's house. We'll rendezvous there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll...
John's address is 2371. Oh, wait.
All right, why don't you tell us about Anton Yelchin? What happened to him?
Anton Yelchin, star of he's most known for being Chekhov in the new Star Trek reboots.
Which means there's a movie coming out with him,
in
a month.
Less than a month.
Yeah.
In like 3 weeks.
He's in a lot of stuff for a while.
He's had a busy career. Yeah, he was in the terrible Terminator Salvation.
That was the one with Christian Bale?
Yeah, in fact, he could have. This is a horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah.
But because he was 27.
Yeah.
Which, you know, now to me seems like...
It's a child.
A baby.
Yeah.
Remember when 27 was
I did stand-up comedy for the first time at 27.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... When you think about... You look back and you remember you're like... Oh man, 27. I'm so old. I'm spent, man. And now that seems like just the youngest. But he could have been one of these guys
Give us his movies.
He was not only
because I remember Like Crazy was one of the movies. Crazy. Was a little indie movie I saw him in. And
mm-hmm. It was a good actor, Anton Yelchin. Yecklin, I don't know how you pronounce that.
Tell us what he did.
Well, Fright Night. I mean, he could have been in
the Fright Night remake.
He could have been working Comic Cons for the next 40
years.
Well,
I remember what I saw him in. Okay, the Fright Night remake.
Terminator,
like crazy.
Salvation.
I didn't see that Terminator.
Okay.
I saw the Star Trek, the first one, anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't see the second one.
You know, he just actually was in a movie called Green Room, which just came out recently, which got good reviews. You know. A lot of indie stuff. He kind of very smartly was
made his name there.
He was kind of very smartly teetering between indies and big, huge. Only Lovers Left Alive.
Never saw that.
Yeah, he was in the Smurfs as the voice of Clumsy.
I did see that. I did see the first Smurfs.
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah. Like Crazy, which was a pretty good movie.
That
New
was
York,
okay.
I Love You. Charlie Bartlett was he was the star of that.
I don't know if I saw that.
Yeah. So he had an interesting career. He was in the Beaver. Wow. I just remembered that.
The Mel Gibson
just
Beaver.
Just remembered that terrible movie right. Just now. But, he was kind of alternating between indies and big giant studio tentpole pictures and, has several films in the can.
So there'll be many Anton Yelchin vehicles coming.
Yeah, there's about five that are coming.
Well, I made the joke that, you know, if you don't know how he died, he basically had this Jeep. I forget the model of the Jeep, but a big SUV, big full-size SUV. And he pulled to the top of his driveway, and he walked behind the car for some reason. I don't know if he was shutting the gate behind him or something, but the car was not in park. It was actually in neutral. It rolled down the driveway and then pinned him against, like, his security fence. And, you know, there was, like, a big brick thing. And you can see pictures of the fence anyway on TMZ and the damage that was under that. And it basically rolled down the driveway and pinned him and killed him. And
horrible.
Terrible way to go.
Horrible way to take the funny out of a podcast.
Well, I wrote down that Scotty failed to turn off the reverse thrusters.
Oh,
I wrote that down here.
The inertial dampers.
Is that what they're called? I don't even know what they're called.
That's the brakes.
Those are the brakes.
The brakes on the Enterprise are called the inertial dampers.
The inertial dampers. Well, he needed them. They were not applied.
Now, was this going at impulse speed? What speed was this?
Well, you know, the thing is, a big, heavy vehicle, even on a short driveway with not much incline, that's enough to kill
you. I got to really see pictures of this setup, because I feel like...
They're on TMZ, like the gate and the driveway, and the driveway didn't look terribly long, and it didn't look terribly steep, but you can imagine if you're trying to outrun the car and you run into a fence, then you're fucked. I guess you could have run right or left.
That's what I'm saying. Could he not have dove?
But maybe the instinct is to go straight or try to stop it with your hands, you know, like whatever.
Yeah,
it didn't work.
Well, it did not work.
Poor bastard.
Oh, my God.
And sad for the dude. Very sad.
Oh, that's
did you find
one.
Those photos?
I'm looking there. I gotta scroll through Raven Simone's stories.
Well,
I'm on TMZ. That's
just search for it on Google and it'll pull right up.
There you go.
TMZ. Oh. All right. Well,
you know, it's a horrible thing. And it's one of the weirdest deaths.
That's a weird celebrity death. Yeah.
That would be in like Hollywood Babylon.
Who's the guy who was a director and like the pipe went through the windshield and like impaled him in the skull? Who was that guy? Was that Nicholas J. Schaffner? No, it wasn't Nicholas J. Schaffner. It was
Alan Pakula.
It might have been Alan Pakula. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been him.
Yeah.
He made All the President's Men, right? Yeah. I think
mm-hmm,
it was him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was like a pipe on the freeway flew up and like went through the windshield and impaled him in his head.
Well, it's a nice reminder that there's many, many ways that the world will take your life, and it's a horrible veil of tears.
Being rich and famous is no guarantee that your car won't run you over. Well, the other wrinkle in the Anton Yelchin thing is that apparently Jeep knows that this is a defect in the vehicle, and there was a recall.
There was a recall underway, yeah.
Underway that like was before he could have it done.
Which, by the way, I wonder if that's going to save their ass on a big lawsuit, is that they had issued a recall.
I guess it would save them, if they found that it was defective,
I mean,
then
we're talking a $100 million lawsuit going
on. Yeah,
right,
it's bad. All right, let's talk about...
Oh, wow. I'm looking at the
you're looking at the gate now, yeah.
So I'm wondering if he was in the space that just wasn't...
But it looks like the car hit the brick part and the fence at the same time, so if that's where he would have been...
He got pinned between the two.
And, like, people found him there. When they found his body, like, they went to his house to look for him, and they found him there. So it's not like, you know, it was even seen by anyone.
That's wild.
It's fucking crazy, man.
Now you're going to wonder about the toxicology report and the whole thing.
I think they did an autopsy and found that it was, like, asphyxiation, and there was no sign of any alcohol or anything. So you imagine, just, like, a drunk guy.
He just choked because he was pinned under it?
Here's what they say is, like, that shifter... because I saw photos of it. The shifter doesn't have, you know how like it moves in and out and like the old, so any car that has that shifter, well, that one, it doesn't really move much. It's electronic. And so people, that's why they're recalling it is it looks like, you might think it's in park
but
it's actually not all the way up because the thing doesn't move all that much like an old style shifter. It's like basically a digital shifter.
Wild.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's a horrible story. You know, there's a lot of, like, I think Ernie Kovacs died in a kind of a low-impact car crash.
Yeah.
It seems sometimes there's these car crashes or accidents that don't seem like they're much of a thing.
Yeah.
And they're lethal. Like, you know, the one, when Dale Earnhardt hit the wall, it looked...
It didn't look bad at all, yeah.
Like it looked like one-third as bad as most of the crashes you see where guys go flipping over and stuff. They walk out of there.
Yeah.
Because the safety procedures worked, but you never know.
Well, that's why it's deceptive as to what, you know, apparently the Dale Earnhardt thing was such impact.
Yeah.
Which, and I don't know if it's because the energy was all absorbed and it wasn't, you know, transferred into shattering pieces of a vehicle or something.
Right, well, because they have the crumple zone and the whole car is engineered to give.
Yeah.
And somehow he hit it in the wrong way. But
when I was in high school, a guy got run over by a float. In, like, the homecoming parade. Like, he lived. He didn't die, but it was, like, the really dumb thing. Basically, he was in a pickup truck, which was pulling the float. He was, like, a football player. Yeah. And he was leaning out, I think, to help somebody onto the truck while the car... But the car was going 5 miles an hour. The truck was going 5 miles an hour. And, you know, they were towing a float. And he went over the... He fell out of the cab of the truck, a pickup truck. Onto the ground, and the float ran him over, and he like broke a bunch of ribs and stuff.
Wow,
I mean that's a bad way to. I mean, not that he died, but when that's was, a bad stupid thing to happen.
When I was in college, I had a truck for about 7 or 8 months. I had a pickup truck called the Generalissimo,
okay,
which you know I had big plans to take to the drive-in and put like AstroTurf in the truck. I had it from like. October to May or something, and I was coming back from campus. You know, I was going to community college, and I was coming back from campus, and I went to take an exit, and I went too fast.
Yeah,
I was going to go to Wendy's or something. It was like the exit before my house.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I was
Seems
like
plausible.
Or I was going to get off there to get something to eat, whatever. Yeah. And I hit the exit too fast.
Okay,
so I hit the brakes, dovetailed.
Oh.
A semi, and so
fishtailed.
Fishtailed. And I went back in the lane, and a semi hit me.
Oh,
my car was like facing into the semi. Hit me, clipped the entire front, like the engine section was gone.
Oh,
I was, and it missed hitting the cabin.
Okay.
By like 2 inches.
Wow,
I'm like the fact that I didn't die in that is pretty miraculous, and I walked away from that. Unscathed, except
that was the last pickup truck you'll ever own.
Yeah, except without a truck. But
it was probably a rear-wheel drive truck, which explains why
I hit the brakes.
Why you fishtailed? Yeah, because I have had a couple rear-wheel drive cars.
Yeah.
That were really terrible. That almost killed me. I had a Thunderbird that almost killed me.
Yeah,
the Thunderbird. I don't know if I was in but I had a Malibu. That was my first car I drove in high school, a 1980 Malibu Classic, a four-door.
Yeah.
V6, which is sort of like, you know, it's a what do you call it? It's a grant. What's like the car that's like a pickup truck that all the Mexicans like?
Oh, the El Camino.
It's an El Camino basically, but it didn't have. It was it had a back seat. Yeah,
the Cruck.
Yeah,
the car truck.
Yeah, but that's what the Malibu. Yeah. The El Camino is based on the Malibu.
Yeah.
So the El Camino is like the Malibu truck. You know, and so I had basically an El Camino that wasn't an El Camino. It was a car.
Okay.
That's what I was driving. It was black. It was kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
But it wasn't fast. It was a V6. But it was rear-wheel drive. And I remember, like, making, like, with a tiniest bit of rain on the road, touching the brakes and doing three complete spins in the middle of the road. I mean, it was a death trap. Terrible.
Wow. Well, now I feel better.
Yeah.
My real world.
Well, those cars are terrible. My Thunderbird never got me in trouble like that, but I did put it in a ditch once when I was on the road.
I was just stupid and driving too fast, and then
didn't
gauge, and I was like, I hit the brakes because I thought I was gonna hit
the
hit
car the you drive now. You could take that exit going twice as fast as your truck spun out
because
a better vehicle. Yeah. Terrible. All right. Let's move on here. I'm gonna explain this Ticketmaster thing. To
yes,
everybody.
Sir.
So a lot of people don't realize what happened here. So there was a class action lawsuit, okay, that was filed in 2003. I'm reading some of this off the website. I'm summarizing it anyway. And the settlement said that Ticketmaster failed to disclose to consumers all aspects of its UPS and order processing fees. Part of the settlement, and this is if you bought tickets from 1999 to 2013. So as a reward to those who were part of the, and I guess you were in it if whether you wanted to be or not.
Okay.
If you had a Ticketmaster account, and this I guess is with, I don't know if this is with Live Nation venues or anyway. The potential settlement is a $2.25 credit on future purchase of any tickets on Ticketmaster. Okay. If you used UPS, you could get a $5 UPS voucher, or you could get free tickets to venues that are owned or operated by Live Nation, general admission tickets. Now, they capped this to a certain amount of per person.
Mm-hmm.
So they capped this to 17 vouchers of each type per person.
Now, was this dependent on how many tickets you'd purchase?
Well, I don't know. But let me explain, because I'm getting to that. It was 17. It was capped to 17 vouchers per person.
Okay.
So I logged into my Ticketmaster account, I think, on Saturday when they announced this. How many vouchers do you think I had?
Four.
I had 17 free pairs of tickets.
Oh, well, you bought a
and
shit.
17 pairs of discounts. At 17, $2.25
right,
discount.
So you were at the top level.
I got the maximum award
probably because
possible.
Of all of the Springsteen tickets.
I bought a lot of Springsteen tickets in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably easily spent, you know, I've spent.
You spent insane amounts of money.
I spent $1,000 on Springsteen tickets in the last 5 years. So, you know, I mean, something like that. Maybe more than that.
More than that.
But I don't know.
Yeah. This year you probably spent that.
Well, I don't know what I spent. I spent enough to get the goddamn free tickets.
And McCartney tickets and all
that. So, Corey, I am going to invite all of the fans of Joel Radio.
Oh, my. What show?
Well, but here's the thing.
Now, they limit what shows you can pick?
Exactly. That's what I'm in a quandary. And I actually will. Okay, here's the other thing. If somebody really wants free tickets and you live in an area, because when I went through this list earlier today, it seems like Cleveland. Because they own the Blossom Music Center, which is our equivalent of DTE. So any show that would go to
DTE.
So
what are the
DTE,
Live Nation venues here at St. Andrews?
St. Andrews Hall and the Fillmore are the ones that they own.
Okay.
And they operate shows at DTE and some of the other venues, Meadowbrook. Actually, I don't think Meadowbrook. I think PalaceNet does all the Meadowbrook stuff. But anyway, there's no Detroit venues on the list at this point for free tickets.
Right.
So I can't do anything with these 17 free pairs of tickets. I got 17 pairs of tickets I can't even use. So I was thinking about, well, I could go to Cleveland and see a show for free, but it's like they're going to be lawn tickets, and I'm going to spend two tanks of gas to go to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even worth it to go to Cleveland to see these
it's
shows.
Normally not worth it to go to Cleveland.
Well,
under any circumstances.
They have the greatest basketball team that's ever happened, Corey. And all right. So let me read you.
Can I tell you how much I hate Golden State for that?
I'm going to give you some of this. I mean, Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can go to, and it's probably a lot of the same shows. Mumford & Sons, Blink 182, Def Leppard, Rascal Flatts. I'm going to skip some of these. Slipknot, Darius Rucker, Black Sabbath, Keith Urban, G-Eazy, and Logic. If you're in Albuquerque and you want to go to any of these, let me know. Now, my brother lives in Atlanta, so he could probably go to some of these shows. The Prophets of Rage, that's the Rage Against the Machine guys with Chuck D and the guy from Cypress Hill, if you want to see that. A Boston 40th anniversary concert. These are all in Atlanta.
I would go to that for free.
Boston? But if I gave you tickets Boston show, you're not going to go.
No. If I lived in Atlanta, I would.
My brother lives in Atlanta. My brother would go to, like, Train. He likes shit like that. It's all in Atlanta.
We can't control who we're...
I know. I mean, who else is there? I mean, it's a lot of the same shit in all of these. Flight of the Conchords in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Go to that. I'd go to that. I'm not going to Atlanta, but if you're in Atlanta and you want to see Flight of the Conchords, that's a solid act. I've seen them a couple
times. What about Weird Al at Freedom Hill? Is that available?
It's not on here. There's nothing in Michigan on here. That's what's so annoying. Bristow. Does Sean live in Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay, Sean, if you can get to the Jiffy Lube Live in Bristow, Virginia, because Sean listens to the show. I've got Heart with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Cheap Trick.
Oh.
I've got a pair of tickets for Sean Stone.
I've seen...
All you got to do is tell me you want to go.
Hold on. I think I've seen... I've seen two of those acts.
Okay. All right. Sean, if you're listening, Weezer with Panic at the Disco. Do you want to go to Bristow, Virginia for Jiffy Lube Live? It's on Friday, June 24th. You better hit me up soon. I'll get you those tickets. I'm trying to see Camden, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you that's like Philly, though. Camden, New Jersey.
Yes.
Duran is there. A lot of these are in the same places. Slipknot is there. There's a lot of stuff at Camden. Daryl Hall and John Oates, Steely Dan. Ryan Adams is there.
Ooh.
Alabama Shakes with Gary Clark Jr. I'd probably go to that. That's all in Camden, New Jersey. So if you're in Philly and you want to go to that venue, I've got a bunch of tickets in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well,
a lot of the same.
They're going to have to open up some of these venues. This is...
I just don't... Chula Vista, California. Is that... That's L.A.? Or is that NorCal?
It's outside.
That's L.A. So if you're in L.A. and you want to go to... let's see. The Prophets of Rage is there. Weezer's there. New Edition in... that's in Concord. That's
New Edition?
That's in North Carolina. Okay, here's the Blossom tickets. This is outside Cleveland, Cuyahoga Falls.
Wait, they're doing a Blossom live tour?
Blossom. Blossom is the name of the venue. I actually went to Blossom and saw Radiohead once. They played out there. So I've been to this. Okay, Def Leppard, Rob Zombie, and Korn. Joe Walsh and Bad Company. I'd probably actually go to that. Slipknot, again, the Heart, Joan Jett, Cheap Trick show is there in Cuyahoga Falls. There's a lot of those. There's a lot of shows in Dallas. If anyone wants to, is in Dallas, get a hold of me. But just there's nothing in Michigan.
I'm sure these bands are thrilled about all these free tickets.
They're getting paid the same either way. I don't think it makes a difference to them because they're getting, you know, when people do these sheds, it's like these bands can't sell these venues out anyway.
Yeah.
They're too big. So, you know, there's a lot of that. I mean, if you're in Noblesville, Indiana, is Noblesville Chicago?
I'm not sure.
Is that Northwest Indiana?
I mean, everything in.
But, you know, there's a part of Indiana that's like Chicagoland.
Yes.
I mean, again, it's a lot of the same stuff. Daryl Hall and John Oates, Steely Dan.
It's by Cicero.
Okay, so yeah. So if you're outside Chicago and you want to go to a free show, let me know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving these tickets away because I don't think I can. I don't know if they're ever going to. If there's any possibility that I can go to these.
Should we play Win Joel's Tickets?
Yeah, why not?
Well, they're going to update this list.
And, you know, I would go to, I guess I'd go to the Fillmore if you gave me free tickets, right, for something? Yeah. For something I wanted to see. But, yeah, it's a lot of this,
If there's something really good, we'd go to Chicago. But
I mean, I would go to Blossom. That venue's maybe 2.5 hours away. Because, like I said, I went there for Radiohead. It was cool. A good show. You know, it was Radiohead with Steve Malcolmus and the Jicks opening.
There you go.
That's what I went to. But anyway, I got the maximum payout.
No, actually, Noblesville is, I'm sorry, that's Cicero, Indiana. Noblesville is like by Indianapolis.
Oh, it's more by Indianapolis. Okay. All right. Well, they're big in Indianapolis because there's shows in Indianapolis too.
Well,
there's a lot of West Palm Beach, Florida, if you're there.
Isn't that why that's why the NFL Combine is in Indianapolis? Because it's geographically
central or something.
Yeah.
Virginia Beach, Virginia. Maybe that's something our friend Sean could go to, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shows there, so I don't know.
Anything in D.C. he'd probably hit.
Well, it's not really D.C. What is Tinley Park, Illinois? That's Chicago. It says it here. Okay. So if you're in Chicago, I still can get you tickets for stuff.
I got you tickets.
I got you tickets. Come get them.
Who wants the tickets?
And let's not forget
Joel
live at CMN TV Studios. I have those tickets.
It's going to be a barn burner.
What's going to go faster, the Toby Keith tickets or me at the Public Access Television Studio?
It's a good question. It's a tough one to decide. Oh, my God.
Well,
at least you got a bat. And so you're clearly, I guess they apportion those based on the level of your how many tickets you bought.
How many tickets you bought, yeah.
Because I saw people reporting back that they got different. Now they got 8 tickets or whatever.
Well, I get as much as you could possibly get.
You got the max.
I probably made 17 orders.
What's amazing is that it was probably, 18 years ago that Pearl Jam was like, fuck Ticketmaster.
Yes.
I mean, this has been going on for a long time in terms of bands. There are bands that will not play Live Nation venues or have pulled out of Ticketmaster.
They're giving you relief because it's like they didn't disclose that the fee was part of the profit of the company, which any smart person would know.
Well, sure.
But if they don't disclose it and they go, you know, it's like when you order something and they go, well, there's shipping and handling. There's usually profit built into the shipping and handling. It's not like the literal cost of the mailing, you know. So it was definitely deceptive. But, you know, look, what they should do, the government, if they were going to really do this, they would go, let's break up this monopoly of Ticketmaster.
Yeah, but that never happens.
No.
How often do they break up things anymore?
Well, there's certain...
They'll occasionally deny a merger.
Exactly. That's what they do.
They will occasionally go, no, Sprint and AT&T, you can't merge.
Once something's together in this day and age, they never split it up.
They rarely ever render it. Like they did.
They're going to say, hey, Google,
like
you got to break
Bell
up.
Bell
you know?
In the late 70s.
And Google like broke itself up recently. You know, Google split off. You know, and there's companies that will do that.
There's an article going on around now about how Yahoo needs to die because it's like a zombie company.
Yeah.
That Yahoo has just got money that it's burning, buying companies and then ruining them.
Yeah, they buy companies and they shut them down.
Like Tumblr.
Well, Tumblr, I think, is successful for them. But
it was...
A lot of the other acquisitions
Tumblr was kind of big, and then Yahoo bought it, and it died off a little bit. And they just buy companies, and they kind of fold them. And, you know, it's become a zombie. It's become like a big... It's like the nothing from,
somebody should buy Ticketmaster and Yahoo, buy Ticketmaster. Well, I mean,
I would love to have enough money to buy a comedy club and just shut it down because I hated the comedy club. But, that's happening already without me.
Well, the scary thing about comedy clubs is that nobody wants to buy them.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of opportunities. You know, before you're going to close any... Okay, before you take the car to the junkyard, don't you want to know if someone will give you $500 for it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's like these comedy clubs just close, and it's like...
I feel like we're in the end of the club era. And so comedy is going to take a new direction and a form, and now this is going to be the next 40 minutes of the show. But,
we've never talked about this on the show before.
And I'm just saying. Yeah, well, I read that Cliff Nesteroff book, and it does put in perspective that comedy goes through phases.
It does. And I think we're in a...
It was once vaudeville. It was once theaters, and there was a vaudeville. There was the Keith Orpheum, whatever. There were a couple syndicates.
There were circuits, yeah.
Yeah, there were circuits, and then you couldn't play the one if you played the other, and then that went into nightclubs, and then
burlesque kind of came, you know, and that's where Abbott and Costello started out,
right? And then in the 50s and early 60s it was nightclubs.
Yeah.
And then there was kind of coffee shops.
Supper clubs, that kind of stuff.
That kind of thing where Lenny Bruce and the Hungry Eye and all that shit. And then eventually the comedy club didn't happen until the early 70s.
Yeah.
So there are phases of how the business moves and changes.
And you know, and maybe the decline in comedy clubs. I mean, what people are doing now, like starting their own shows and that. I don't see that becoming I think that's an alternative to clubs, and I think it will continue to be that.
Yeah.
But
I'm running a showcase, by the way, the UFO Factory.
Oh,
so look for the next.
When
one
is
of those.
The next UFO Factory?
We haven't gotten a date yet because they have so many bands that they're waiting to hear from.
Oh,
so they want to keep doing it. So we'll do some more. But.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think what we're seeing now in comedy is a boom on the top end.
Yes.
And a boom on the bottom end.
And the middle is being
the middle is dropping out. The middle is either becoming a free show or it's becoming we're going to graduate from clubs. Some of the headliners go to theaters.
It's basically like
The middle is falling away.
Basically like everything in America.
Well, yeah, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and
the middle
gets squeezed
in the butt.
And we're in the middle.
Yeah,
we're getting fucked.
Good times.
No lube.
No, just dry.
Just a dry.
Didn't even spit on it.
Didn't even shower. Just a crusty dick.
It's even worse than dry. It's like a little handful of sand.
Oh, a little grit in there.
Yeah,
like
a little
something
grit
was
grinding silicate into your bunghole. All right, beautiful story. Kids, I hope you're enjoying this show. I hope the 13-year and the 6-year-old comedian are both listening to this program.
I think we're going to end the show on an upbeat note here with a television review.
Okay.
Of O.J. Made in America.
Oh, yeah.
The five-part.
That's gonna cheer us right up.
What?
Boy. Oh, shit.
What do you want from me?
Oh, my God.
So O.J. Made in America debuted last week.
Now,
it was on.
Hold on. I still haven't seen all five parts, so don't spoil it.
You know that black guy who runs real fast, Corey? He kills somebody. That's the spoiler. It's real good. If you haven't seen this, it's part of the 30 for 30 series on ESPN. ABC ran the first initial thing, and then it's been running all week on ESPN.
Which is frustrating because ESPN has been rerunning the other parts.
They've rerun one, though.
I haven't found it. So
well, they say it's all on demand. In fact, after I saw the third one, they were promoting on the third one, hey, they're all on demand.
Well,
so then I watched like 4 and 5 in a marathon.
They
one
put
afternoon.
It on Watch ESPN, on your, which if you have an Xbox One.
That's a pain in the ass to use.
I
tried that.
It's a pain in the ass app. Well, guess what? They stopped supporting Xbox 360 for that.
Oh.
So I couldn't even watch it on there.
Well, you can probably watch it on your computer, maybe.
I'm
going to
eventually
know.
Get a new system just in time. For the next season.
For the next, just in time. So, but yeah, it was real. It was really, really good. In fact, this guy, what's his name? Ezra Edelman, I think his name
is.
Made a great documentary about Bird and Magic that was on HBO a few years ago. So, you know, the ESPN 30 for 30 is not like the same guy making all these movies. They're independently made. They get funding for them.
Yeah.
But they're all different stylistically.
Edelman also did a really good one called The Curious Case of Kurt Flood.
Okay.
Who was like the first free agent.
Oh, okay.
And he got a lot of, it was very controversial and he was pretty much blacklisted, but he kind of broke the free agency line.
Yeah. But this OJ thing is great. Part one, the part that you didn't see, was really about OJ's background. A lot of his college career at USC, and the history of race in L.A. Like, where did all the blacks come from in L.A.? Well, they tell you.
Where did all the blacks come from? Where did they get that extra bone in their leg?
No, but O.J.'s family was from Louisiana, and that's where a lot of the blacks came from, the Deep South.
Well, we always hear about the Great Migration where, you know, blacks left the South and went up and worked industrial places like, you know, Youngstown, Ohio, and Detroit, and we don't get the Western migration story.
Yeah, and they also went west, and that's where O.J.'s family went.
Yeah.
And you see all of that. And the first part ends where he meets, you know, his college career's over. He's married with kids. And then he meets Nicole Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She's waiting tables at a private... there was some club that they all went to, which was really cool. Because there's a lot...
Yeah.
There's so much detail on the stuff sort of surrounding O.J. in L.A., and they talk about this club that everyone went to that was like a private club, and she was one of the waitresses, and OJ meets Nicole there. That's the end of part one. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of revelations. Even in part one, we're saying their first date he went on, she came home, and whatever, her roommate or her friend noticed that her jeans were ripped. And she said, well, OJ got kind of aggressive.
Okay.
On date one. Date one! OJ ripped her pants off.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then you go into part two and you see, you know, him becoming a superstar and Naked Gun and all the endorsements and the history of the Hertz commercials, all that stuff is on there. And then a lot of some of the him and, you know, their problems in their marriage, OJ and Nicole, and the domestic violence.
Their wedding footage was pretty spectacular.
Oh, my God. What an excess 80s thing that
was. It was.
And the one woman goes like... She's like talking to the camera. She goes, "Where's the drugs?"
you can really see, and then you get to see Robert Kardashian and the young
yes
the young pre fame whoring
Yeah.
Mama Chris. Kardashian.
Chris Kardashian.
You get to see the genesis of where she was already positioning herself to be like an L.A. Hollywood socialite.
Well, she was a Hollywood wife, you know?
Yeah.
And Kardashian was kind of a big deal, I guess, as
a
lawyer.
Successful attorney, yeah.
And they were great friends. And, you know, it's also the common thread is that, you know, O.J. didn't have black friends. He had a couple friends from back in the day, and you see
Al Collings.
A guy named Joe Bell is in a lot of
Marcus
this.
Allen.
Yeah. And but you see that O.J.'s just hanging out with all of the whiteys in L.A., you know? And so that was really cool.
Yes, all of the whiteys.
Well, you know, all the rich people that,
well,
you know.
At one point, they're talking about how he immediately wanted to be around rich people.
Yeah.
He was, like, trying to hang around with CEOs and build his business empire, which is very shrewd.
Yeah, and
they showed him on the, he's like, one of the guys is like, oh, I would take O.J. He was, like, the first black guy we'd ever had at the country club.
Well.
And they show him with these, like, dried up old, like, 80-year-old white guys. And I just went like, that looks like no fun. But,
yeah.
You know.
Well, he liked the attention. Well, the other thing in the first part that you'll love is that, you know, they show Muhammad Ali. You know, Ali just died. And you know, when Ali was fighting the draft and, you know, going Muslim, and he got Lew Alcindor to join his cause, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And a lot of the top athletes, those guys in the Olympics, the fist guys, you know, those guys. And they all joined Ali, and they backed him, and they asked O.J. They said, we want you.
Juan Carlos Williams. And
yeah, they wanted O.J. to join with Ali, and O.J. refused. And O.J. said, I'm not going to do the black power thing. I just refuse. So O.J., even then, race has always been an issue in his life. And the other big revelation in there, I don't know if you saw this either, is that O.J., you know, was largely raised by his mother. His dad left at the age of 4, and his dad would be part of his life later. But O.J.'s dad was a homosexual.
Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
O.J. left. O.J.'s dad left. And there was, I think at one point, like O.J. was spending the weekend with his dad or something, and somebody came to pick him up, and they saw that, you know, O.J.'s dad and his boyfriend were in matching bathrobes. So that affected him, too, a lot. To not have a dad and have his dad be gay, you know, was a big deal.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
My general overall impression of the series is it's very well done and extremely depressing.
Well, it's depressing, but it's you know, it's that American success story. It says and that's why it's called, I think, Made in America, is because it's really the story of America or what can go wrong in America. And it shows, you know, all the stuff leading up to the O.J. trial where the, you know, the Rodney King cops and they were and how they were acquitted and how L.A. reached its boiling point, and it's really explained well in here.
Yeah.
And it's just so well done, and the trial stuff is great. I mean, most of the people who are alive are still in it, I would say. I mean, Al Collings
is
in it.
I didn't realize F. Lee Bailey was alive.
F. Lee Bailey's alive. He's in it. You know, Johnny Cochran's dead. Robert Shapiro's not in it. A guy named Carl Douglas really speaks for the defense in a lot of ways in this. And he's wild. He's out there.
Wait,
Carl
is
Douglas.
Is Dershowitz in it or no?
Dershowitz is in it, the Barry Scheck is in it, and Carl Douglas. Those
guys
represented the defense. And then you see Marcia Clark and what's his name? Bill Hodgman for the prosecution. Chris Darden's not in it.
And Garcetti,
yeah.
But you don't see Christopher Darden.
Chris Darden is not in it. But boy, the stories, man. I mean, really great stories all these people had. A lot of new insights. That stuff that I didn't even know. I mean, at one point, Bill Hodgman takes you through what he thought happened on the night of the murders and how O.J. did it and the number of blows. And it's really graphic and lots of crime scene photos. And it's really crazy.
It's really weird and engaging and depressing at the same time.
And here's
the
other thing.
I was bummed out by
you
it.
And I. I'm sure. I don't want to speak for you. I'm going to speak for me. We've always thought those jurors were idiots. How, with all that evidence, how do you do it? And then you read these books later, and a lot of people go, well, you know, it was the prosecution didn't prove their case, and they let them try the gloves on, and they made blunders all down the line and stuff. And okay, and while all those things are true, the jurors that are interviewed here come off like the dumbest people on the fucking face of planet Earth. They really come off as complete idiots.
Well,
they come off as racist. They come off as they didn't never wanted to give the prosecution a chance in this thing. They come off bad.
And, you know, that's the first. The prosecution lost the case to begin with a change of venue.
Yeah, they should have had it in Santa Monica or whatever, the part of L.A. that O.J. actually lived in.
Yes.
And where the murders were, committed.
They did not, which is, you know,
West Hollywood.
Brentwood is out on the west
rich,
side.
Yeah. White West Hollywood.
L.A. works west from Los the Angeles. Beach. The beach is where the rich people are, mostly, yeah. You know, to the east side where it gets poor.
It gets poor, yeah.
They had a change of venue. They moved it downtown, and they lost control of the case from the get-go.
Yeah, those jurors clearly, because they explain it in that, you know, it's the history of L.A. These jurors, you know, lived in bad parts of town. They were mistreated by the police for their whole life.
Right.
They didn't trust the cops. And look, Furman clearly was not a good guy.
All of that. You know? See, that's the thing, what is interesting about this. All of the racial stuff that went on, all of the police brutality, all of the bad history between the LAPD and the community is all there, and it's all true.
Yeah.
It's all apparent.
It's not
evident.
Yeah.
Doesn't make O.J. innocent. None of it did.
And some other great stuff in there. His agent is in a lot of this. I forget his name, Mike something.
Yeah.
And his agent tells the story about, you know, after O.J. was acquitted, they were hanging out one night, having some beers, smoking some weed. And O.J. admitted to him what happened on the night. And I don't know if you want me to say that here or if I... Is that a spoiler for the show or should I just say it? Because it was interesting to me.
Should all see it. Maybe we'll...
I had never heard this angle on it. Well, here's the angle. If you don't want to know, fast forward 10 seconds. Okay. OJ's story that he told him is that OJ went to their house that night, went to Nicole's house that night, and just to see what was going on, and Nicole came out of the house with a knife.
That's his story. Yeah.
So, you know, now that doesn't explain why the knife disappeared, why OJ went there in gloves and a stocking cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that doesn't make sense, but that's a story. You know, so amongst his friends, he's admitting it with an explanation, sort of.
And instead of taking the knife away from her, as the elite level athlete he was, he hacked her neck off and killed the waiter
who had
brought over the glasses.
Yeah.
Now, that's what they didn't really get into was the deal with them.
Well, you just explained it. He was bringing over glasses.
But I mean, they never really... Now, at the time, there was a lot of implication that there was a relationship between her and Ron Goldman.
There is a boyfriend of hers...
Who worked at the restaurant. Was the
no,
chef.
No, no.
Was the owner?
No, I don't know if that guy... I think it was just the guy who hung out with her, right? I don't think he had anything to do with
the restaurant. No, I think he worked at the restaurant.
Well, anyway, but that guy, like, O.J. caught her blowing
him in the living room, and you hear that in
there. So I don't think there was ever any real indication
Ron was just a casual...
He was just a dude in the wrong place at the wrong time, yeah. It's a guy bringing glasses back. I mean, they were there
in the
envelope.
But he apparently knew her because she was in the
restaurant.
Well,
he knew her well enough, like, he knew where he lived, I guess, but,
yeah.
You know. I mean, who knows? But, I mean...
That was one part of the story they didn't get into.
But it's not like that gives O.J. a reason. Like, he goes over there and they were doing it.
It wouldn't give him an excuse. It would give him a motivation.
Well, the motivation is that he hated her and he beat her up and eventually murdered her. I mean, that's the motivation.
Well, sure.
And the other thing, and this is the last part, which I don't know if you saw the last part of this special, but... and it is, if you watch it without commercials, it's like 7.5 hours, but it's great. Was all about, you know, what happened to O.J. after the verdict, after the acquittal. He went to Miami, started doing a bunch of coke. There's all kinds of crazy... Do you remember the Juiced reality show where he did a punked-style hidden prank?
I didn't see 1 and 5. I didn't see the parts I didn't know.
Well,
this whole thing.
So you see that, and then, you know, all of it. So if you want to look up Juiced, I think is on YouTube. If you want to find O.J. doing hidden prank camera show... you can get that on there on YouTube. And then it goes into what happened in Vegas, which ended, you know, ultimately put O.J. back in jail, was the robbery of the hotel room. When you see the guys he was hanging out and that were part of this hotel robbery, because they're all in it, the guys that were robbed and the guys that were doing the robbing, and honestly, you couldn't make this shit up. It's like a fucking Coen Brothers movie, or it's like, you know, like a Tarantino thing. It's insane. These were crazy, whacked out people.
Yeah.
And they were all, you know, all a bunch of low life losers.
Why don't we invite those guys to the taping at CMN?
I would love to.
You can invite OJ's gun. Are they all in jail?
I think some of them did time, but OJ got the most. Like,
the posse?
The guy with the gun, like, flipped on OJ. Because the prosecutors in Vegas, like, went after O.J. so hard that they said, hey, we'll cut you a deal if you flip on O.J. And he's interviewed in the piece. It's really great. Those guys, that was some of the craziest shit you'll ever hear in L.A. Yeah. But, and there's audio of O.J. breaking into the room and saying, nobody move. It's insane. And also, they do make it out. And I don't know if we should revel in this. But it seems like, you know, when they really threw the book at him in Vegas.
Well, the judge,
they really gave him no leniency whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that the judge in that case,
they were
took his opportunity to get him off the streets.
But O.J. Made in America, it's streaming on the ESPN app. Look for it if you have cable on demand. Usually the 30 for 30 stuff ends up on Netflix in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like usually pretty quick they end up on Netflix. So hopefully this will end up there too and you'll get a chance to see it. And
It's well worth seeing and it's very great, interesting, yeah. But seven hours is a little...
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not sure what's better, this or the FX thing.
The FX show was great.
I, you know what? I think this might be better just because it was real, but they're both great. They're both great.
Yeah.
They're both great.
I didn't think I was going to want to have anything to do with this after the FX show, and I got caught up in it.
They're both great. They're both worth seeing. Yeah. I mean, the history alone, the background of L.A. and all that stuff is so great in this special that really, I think it's a must-see. I think it's the best 30 for 30 I've ever seen and one of the best documentaries of the year and the whole thing. So.
All right.
Go watch that.
Big
O.J.
Thumbs up
Made
Joel.
In America. I loved it. So, and again, I thought I knew everything about O.J. You know, I've read like a ton of O.J. books and all kinds of O.J. stuff, and there was still stuff I didn't know, so... it was great.
It makes me sad, honestly. The OJ stuff. It bums me out.
Well, I've made peace with it. I mean, I don't know if it bums me out. I mean, I mean, it's pretty obvious that OJ, even when he was famous and not killing people, was still an asshole. Which makes you think about show business and makes you think about people. And certainly, we've met a fair number of celebrities, and we know that there's assholes that are out there.
Sure,
you know. But to see it, you know, exposed like that in sort of how people have facades and how people build these images over time and everyone thinks they're something that they're not. You know?
I think maybe the thing to take away from the OJ situation.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just going to get selfish and apply it to my own life.
Yeah.
I speak my mind honestly, truthfully, freely.
Okay.
People think I'm an asshole. You'll never once hear me stiffing somebody on money for a show or being a creep or all of the things, because I'm not that. The guys who are open and honest and are the assholes, generally are not the guys. George Carlin was never caught doing bad stuff.
They're generally not the guys that the guy.
The
yeah.
Suck ass. Kiss up. James Corden, by the way, is going
to stop it.
They're
going
to find
kitty
porn. They're going to find kitty porn.
They're not.
I swear to God. Cachet of kitty porn. The most friendly, cheerful, vacuous, bullshitty suck-ups are always
Jimmy Fallon.
Evil.
If you want to believe the tabloid,
it's coming for him any
Jimmy
day.
Jimmy Fallon's a drunk and a drug abuser, and you know every time he's like injured himself, it's because he was falling down because he was sauced. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, yeah, you could say that. I'm with you.
That unless you're
the phonies have something to hide. I agree with you.
The phony Bill Cosby.
There you go. Michael Jackson today. I know
another
Michael Jackson
stuff about Michael Jackson.
Revelation
right.
today about
Prince,
porn and
straight up freak and you know, I mean, obviously he died from a drug overdose, but no one ever said Prince like you know what I mean.
Prince didn't
keep girls in his dungeon
or have
explicit child pornography
or
touch children.
Yeah.
It's always the holy rollers and the fucking highfalutin and the Joe Paternos.
You're right about that.
Those are always the fucking scumbags. Look for those people.
OJ was a scumbag. Breaking news here on Joel Radio.
Well, no, but he was America's best friend. And
He was.
I'm surprised Regis hasn't been found doing cannibalism.
Oh, Regis.
Regis has been eating people and putting them
under his... Don't drag our precious Regis into this.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
It's always like, the guy's such an asshole. I'll trust the asshole... Before I trust Mr. Smiley Face.
I hear you. All right. Anything else for today's show?
I've had enough.
It's been a hell of a show.
I can have no more.
It's one of our worst shows ever.
Really?
On a scale of 1 to 10, this show's a 2.
Really a toilet brush.
Really?
It's a real toilet brush for a program.
This is a 2 flusher. This one won't go down with 1 flush.
I think that's
this
the
turd.
Title.
The two flusher?
Two comics, two flushers.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Oh. But anyway, yeah, come see me. So if you do, let us know on Facebook, or you can email me at joelthecomic@gmail.com. If you want to come to the CMN TV taping, it'll be in July on a Monday night.
All right.
And if you live in any of those areas I mentioned about the free tickets, I'll throw you a couple free tickets to a show, because why not? Something in Live Nation.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. Who the fuck? Who's going to use these 17 free tickets?
That is a good question.
17 pairs of tickets. I mean, fucking hell. So.
All right.
I think what I'll have to do is I'll have to get the tickets and, like, send you the scans of them. Or
how many Springsteen shows can you go to? Can you use 17 Springsteen tickets?
If there were going to be free Springsteen tickets, you think I fucking would be giving them away?
Those are not the tickets.
No.
They're giving away.
They're giving away Heart with Cheap Trick, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and 17 other bands who had one hit, because no one's buying a fucking ticket.
Hey, Joel.
Springsteen.
Hey, Joel, did you want to go to that Juice Newton show?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's Eddie Rabbit's at the fucking, at the county fair.
Eddie,
and getting free tickets.
Eddie Rabbit.
Who wants to go?
Hey, do you want to see the Baja Men?
Yeah.
They're coming to town.
Well, there is like a package, like a rap tour where it's like 27 rap acts.
It's Lil Bow Wow.
Well, it's like, yeah,
Soulja Boy,
UTFO, and
Onyx.
Yeah, yeah. You can see all those. Most of those Naughty by Nature will be there.
Yeah.
By the way, most of those acts have played The Gathering at one point or another. So
okay.
I've seen most of them, but yeah.
Hammer.
I've seen Hammer.
Yeah, is Tanya Tucker still touring?
I've seen Exhibit. I've seen Naughty by Nature.
Ooh.
I've seen Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I've seen Ice-T.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of Vanilla Ice.
I introduced
Vanilla Ice.
I interviewed Ice Cube at least 3 times.
Yeah. By the way, Vanilla Ice, great guy. Love Vanilla
Rob
Ice.
Rob Van Winkle's a good
Rob's
guy?
Rob's a great guy.
Really?
I fucking love hanging out with him. He's fun.
All right.
Vanilla Ice, good guy.
I've heard he's a complete douchebag from many
people. Wait. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Rewind the tape 5 minutes ago.
I just said the guys.
What did you say? The guys who are honest.
Yeah.
Guys who people maybe don't like. Aren't up to anything. They're the good guys. And the guys that have the squeaky clean images are the douchebags.
That's a good point.
Vanilla Ice, not considered a good guy, but is a great guy.
All right.
There you go.
No, I mean, I just had heard on the backstage level that he could be kind of a diva hi-hat.
Vanilla Ice?
I never thought Vanilla Ice was pompous or pious about
Well, I don't know. I've only seen Vanilla Ice like at the Gathering of the Juggalo, so I've seen him maybe not at his career high.
Well, again, from our limited experience in show business, the people with the most talent have the least to hide.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
If they talk, whatever. Case in point, our Gilbert.
Gilbert's
our,
great.
Our hero, Gilbert.
Love Gilbert.
Everybody's like, oh, it's the filthiest, dirtiest comedy.
Yeah, right.
And couldn't be a sweeter guy.
What an awful man,
couldn't,
Gilbert.
Couldn't be
yeah,
a lovely
guy.
Dave Attell is a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Sure. But then we know some cleaner PG comics who can suck a bag.
Yeah,
of
I guess once you start making generalizations is when you start to get things wrong. Though at the same time,
it's not universal.
It's not universal.
But it's certainly,
we're good guys.
I keep trying to tell people. That. It's the there. Look, I'm just saying it's not universal. Sure, there's cases where
Corey
Hall, but
30 for 30.
I would say the more religious or churchy or preachy or sanctimonious someone is,
Corey,
the more Hall. Likely they're going to be caught.
Made in Berkeley.
Doing pony play with,
his car spun out, was hit by a semi.
There you go.
Pickup truck ruined.
Yeah, my 30 for 30. He put his dick in several Jewish girls and then settled and got married. All right. Oh,
let's explain the rivalry between Real Detroit and Metro Times.
That's right.
For a minute before we tell you about the great defection of 2002.
He lost.
And
he left the flagging newspaper industry to go into even more flagging comedy.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, let's get out of here. I think we've had enough. I think everyone's had enough. I've had enough. You've had enough.
OJ's had enough.
We've all had enough.
Look. Marsha Clark's weave hairdo. It's had enough, whatever that was.
Look, I will be on the internet giving away free Goo Goo Dolls tickets, so please get a hold of me.
That's right.
If anyone's ready to see.
If you want to see Soul Asylum.
You come right over to joelradio.net and you let me know. Because
Georgia, Florida line.
I think they're too hot.
They are too hot.
For free tickets, yeah.
They don't give those away.
Not
they
yet.
They don't give those any yokel. They don't give those away.
No.
No, it's got to be Montgomery Gentry. Maybe they're giving those.
I read you a list. I mean, there's more on there. Brad Paisley. Come get it. Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa, the High Road Tour.
All right. Well,
Everything Must Go.
These are somewhat relevant.
Keith Urban. Dierks Bentley. Kenny Chesney.
God.
Rascal Flatts.
Do I want to see none of those?
Blink 182. Corey. You and I, West Palm Beach, Florida, for Counting Crows and Rob Thomas together. Come on, let's do it. Why not?
How about that John Mayer doing with the dead? Is there a show I want to see least than less than that? How about Jimmy Buffett? Are they giving those away?
I don't think you can get Jimmy Buffett tickets. I'm just trying to see who else is here. ZZ Top with Government Mule.
Oh God.
God,
Stay No More. How about Enough's Enough? Are they touring?
I don't think they're touring.
Night Ranger?
Gwen Stefani?
Okay, well, that's actually a big show.
Rob Zombie and Korn?
Ooh.
What
about Blaze Your Dead Homie?
Well, he'll be at the gathering.
And Twisted.
They'll both be at the gathering. I'll see them there.
What about Big Hoodoo with the Power of Voodoo?
He'll be at the gathering, too. Yeah. What about Bush and Chevelle? You interested in that?
Oh, cut it.
All right.
Cut.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh. We'll see you at the Steve Miller Band Show.
Oh.
All right. Free tickets. Only from your friends at Joel Radio. Good night.